You're listening to Sportcology with Olympian Jungle Jim Hunter. It's now time for the Business in Sport with Partnership Group Sponsorship Specialist, Chris Reed. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Last time we talked about evaluation and impressions and numbers and all of these things that give us the value to what we're doing when we value a sponsorship relationship. What are the elements of a robust fulfillment plan? And a lot of people, you know, wouldn't think about that, but you've got to think about that before you start, of what is going to be the fulfillment plan that you're going to evaluate it on.
No, exactly. And it's really itemizing everything that's in the contract at the front end. Talking about all the benefits that are promised and legally committed to in your contract. And then there's a outline of what was delivered when and how, and hopefully in some cases over-delivered. And then there's obviously talk of next steps. And fulfillment is a key part of hopefully getting a renewal from a partner, because you've kept them along, you know, kept them updated all along, and they're also able to demonstrate up the chain on how they're really getting good value from their investment.
You know, I'm thinking here, Chris, that somebody might put together a program, and let's be hypothetical. They put together a program, they've done all the work, they've itemized all the numbers, they know how they're going to communicate, they know when they're going to communicate, and they put it together, and all of a sudden there's an unexpected increase in value or increase in benefit that comes as a result of something. Maybe you go in and you think, okay, we're going to make this presentation or we're going to do this event, and we anticipated 1,000 people coming. And I'm just using a typical example of, you know, there might be an event where 25,000 people come and you thought that 1,000 people were going to sign up and do something and activated to be involved, and somehow they were stimulated. And then all of a sudden you get 5,000 people that are activated and they're motivated to sign up or to participate, or they respond. How do you deal with the fact that sometimes what you do has an increased value and you didn't anticipate that, and you can't go back and redo the contract, but you've increased the value to your sponsor? Is there a way to present that in such a way that it affects your next contract? I mean, it's easy to say, well, you just charge more, but there's got to be a way to look at some of these things that have come along that happen unexpectedly, both good and bad. And this can go both ways. You can have something that goes better and something that goes worse.
No, exactly. And you know what? It's a good news story. And that's part of what gets captured in the fulfillment document. So mm-hmm. that you say that, you know, the estimation or the assumption was that X number of people were going to make attendus, and that's what you had sort of committed to. However, the great news is, you know, X, you know, 500% more people attended than expected. That's great news for the sponsor. Now, that also, as you alluded to, factors into valuing that property for the next year. Assuming you understand why that lift happened, is it something that you can expect the following year? Like, do you understand why you mm-hmm. got such a huge attendance? Was it because of promotion or what have you? Because you don't want to go the other way now, where now you've, in renewal, you've increased the value of that, and then you can't deliver that audience.
Absolutely.
So you need to be very sure on and do your homework on why you think you know, that attendance spike was there, and can you maintain that?
Good point. You're listening to the Business in Sport with Partnership Group Sponsorship Specialist, Chris Reed. Chris, I'm wondering, in those situations where you can't anticipate everything that happens and there is things that change, you should neither overreact or underreact, but you should react. And I'm wondering, how important is that in your fulfillment plan? And when should you tell your client that? Should you tell your client that right at the end when you do your fulfillment plan? Or is it something that you keep in the back of your mind for next year or in renegotiation? Or is it something that you want to deliver right with the fulfillment plan?
No, I always recommend delivering it with the fulfillment plan. And in fact, when I was at Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, we would do a mid-season sort of check-in so that we were able to sit down with the larger partners and show how things were tracking. And if there was a potential issue or something was going to be problematic, that was the time to address it, not at the end of the year, because maybe there was something that could be, renegotiated in to exchange for this, because an event couldn't happen because a team appearance wasn't going to be part of it or what have you. So it's just, it's good to keep the dialogue going. It's also good, even when it's event-based and it's outside and there's things like weather that play into it, that's captured in the fulfillment plan, because the fulfillment can morph into a strategic plan for the following year so that you can plan, you know, even more so than in the past, and, mm-hmm. and take those learnings from fulfillment and turn them into strategy.
It's never a bad strategy to keep your sponsorship relationships informed all the time, is it?
Not at all, no.
Yeah.
And they appreciate that, especially if it's bad news.
Even if it's bad news. I mean, a lot of people, if it's bad news, say, well, let's hide it. Let's not talk about it. But, you know, when things don't go right, you got to be upfront about it. You just can't. It's the good boy, bad boy series, when it comes to doing something wrong and you broke the window, it's better to go to your parents right away and say, I broke the window than it is to leave it as long as possible.
Exactly. And it's like any relationship, which this should be, it's based on trust. So if you're upfront with them, they're going to appreciate that, and that's going to serve you well in the future.
Absolutely. Where can people get more information, Chris, if they want to get a hold of you?
Our website is partnershipgroup.ca. It has tons of information on the services that we offer. It talks about events coming up, like our sponsorship congress. And actually this year with that, we have 2 half-day municipal workshop and a event and sport tourism workshop on the Monday. And the congress itself is Tuesday and Wednesday.
You know, why did you add the workshops? That's interesting, because those are new.
They are new, and it's something somebody can just attend for the half day, and they don't need to attend for the other 2 days, or they can do the full gamut and get 2.5 days of great industry knowledge. It's just, we're trying to address a need that we've identified is out there, and we do a lot of work with municipalities, and we also do a lot of work with the event and sport tourism industry as well.
What will people learn at that half day?
Well, at the half day, they'll learn about municipalities. Will learn about building cases for support to get a sponsorship plan, and how to engage procurement across all areas within a municipality. And then with the sport and tourism, they're going to learn how to, you know, look at a revenue generating program, how to secure sponsor engagement, design a sponsorship revenue component in their project. So mm-hmm. lots of information.
Absolutely. He's Chris Reed. He's a sponsorship specialist, and you've been listening to The Business in Sport with the Partnership Group. I want to thank my guests, my sponsors, and, of course, the radio station that carries this program. If you miss any portion of the show, go to junglegym.ca. If you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, write me at excellence@sportcology.com. Programs produced at the Sportcology Institute are designed to motivate, educate, and communicate excellence in life by giving the Olympic and Paralympic community a voice. And last, we want to thank you for listening to.